Chapter 3. As a child, May, perhaps like most protected children, believed a sort of magical hedge surrounded her that would keep out all the sadness of the world. Though she had been born during the first year of the Great Depression, in the Woolencott household there was always enough food in the larder, plenty of clothes hanging in the closets, sufficient coal to feed the furnace in the basement. Though the children would have liked to have had more of what they wanted, they certainly had everything they needed. May was, of course, vaguely aware that terrible things did happen to other people. She sometimes overheard her parents talking about Dr. Woolencott's patients, men and women who were struggling with illness, with the death of loved ones, with something called unemployment. Many of his patients couldn't keep up with their medical payments because of the depression, whatever that was, and more scraggly men dressed in smelly old clothes came around to the back door of the house looking for food. May watched curiously as her mother prepared a cold sandwich or a plate of leftovers for the visitors. And while she felt sorry for the men, she was at the same time glad they belonged to a whole different world than her own, the world outside the hedge. It was Roy, more than anyone, who made May aware of tragedy. She learned his story from her mother in more than just overheard bits and snatches, and she thought it was just about the saddest story she'd ever heard. Still, like the dirty men in the smelly old clothes, the sadness itself belonged to someone else, and never ventured any further into May's life than the back door. May couldn't remember the first time she met Roy Hanna. She'd grown up with four older brothers, and just as they had been there from the start, it seemed to May that Roy had, too. The Woolencott house was so full of males that May, when she was very young, assumed the round-faced boy was just another brother. But later she realized that even though he appeared at the dinner table about once a week, and was generally around for holidays, and even though he sometimes did chores around the house like the other boys, Roy was seldom with the family for more than a few hours at a time. A day at most. Many days he wasn't around at all. And he didn't sleep in either of the two rooms where the other boys slept, but always disappeared before bedtime. It dawned on her little by little that Roy was, in fact, different from her brothers. But who exactly...